In Jesus' name, amen. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Jody and I, every night we pray together and read the Bible together. We're just together. We have our own personal times. Y'all can hear me? It's good. But we also have a time where we get together right before we go to bed and pray and read our Bibles. And we were reading this, and it really gripped my heart something here. And I said, oh, okay. So look at the start of verse 14. And when you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like all the other nations that are about me. Now, let me stop there. God was giving them instructions. They were about to go into the promised land. And God was giving them instructions upon how to do things, how to take care of things. I mean, from the sacrifices to when it had to be done and how it should be done. And, you know, it tells you, you know, God even set cities aside, which was amazing to me, that if somebody, you know, killed somebody accidentally, that they could go to these cities and not be held accountable for it. I mean, just now that was accidentally, not murder, okay? Murder was set up. But otherwise, God took care of everything from sacrifices to everything from the erecting of the sanctuary and how it should be set. Everything was precise. Precise. And look at verse 15. It says, and you shall in any wise set him king over you, whom the Lord your God shall choose. Now, all the other nations had kings. All the other nations had kings. And God said that he would give them a king. But he set certain rules up, certain things that had to be done by the king as he was giving them instructions. That's just like us. God gives us instructions on how to live. He tells us things that are right, and he tells us things that are wrong. And we are to follow what the scripture says. And as we follow the scriptures, we will stay on that straight and narrow path. Some people think it's too narrow. Well, obviously God doesn't think so. Because in his word, he tells us what is right, what is wrong, what we should do, and how we should live. Now, even unto in the Old Testament, God tells or is going to share with the people, the Israelites, the king, how he should act and what he should do. Look at this. Verse 16. But he shall not multiply houses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. Ooh. You think some wanted to return to Egypt? Talk about. To the end, he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. He was saying, don't turn back. Don't turn back. And that's a great thing. We need to learn that. I mean, how many of us have thought about turning back to the things of the world? Probably every one of us. And kind of, because things that are happening in our families or in our homes or in what's going on with the enemy bombarding us, and we think about turning from God. Don't ever turn from God. When you think about turning from him, fall on your face before him and say, Lord, help me. Help me, have mercy upon me. God looks at a humble heart and he goes towards that. It's like a magnet for him, a person that is humble before him. Say, Lord, I don't know if I should go to the left or should I go to the right. Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what decision to make. I don't know what to do. God looks at a humble heart, and as we fall before him, he comes in. It's a magnet that pulls him, because it pulls, that humility pulls him towards us. And he comes in and comforts our souls and comforts our spirits. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Even back then, money had a hard play on people's lives, people. And I know you know this. The scripture says, money is not evil. It's the love of money that is an evil thing. It is the root of all sin. It's an amazing thing. The love of money. Loving it so much. And what it becomes our God if we love it so much. And we can't give it out. Now, there's nothing wrong with saving. There's nothing wrong with buying nice things. It's nothing wrong. But to hoard it and to love it so much that even the Spirit of God cannot help us to lose it from our lives. Then there's a problem. You know, when the rich young ruler ran to Jesus, you know, and wanted to give his heart, and Jesus told him what to do. He said, go and sell everything. I can just imagine the picture of that on the face of that young man when he comes and he's wanting to give his heart to the Lord, and Jesus knew that his big downfall would be his possessions, his money, what he had. And people, every one of us in here are rich. Come on, a few more amens. Amen, 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 okay. Every one of us in here are rich, people, compared to the average of the world. Why do you think so many from the South or from Mexico want to come here? Why do you think everybody in other countries, they're craving to come to this place? Because of the wealth that is in this nation. And thank God we have a president that is unleashing it. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. I know God put him in that position, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, to bring wealth back to this nation so the church can have a lot of money to get the word out about Jesus before he comes. It takes money. That's how God set it up. It took money to buy these chairs. It took money to build these walls. It took money to buy that carpet. It takes money. It takes money. Don't let it become, do that rich young ruler. Jesus turned to him and said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor. And he went away sad. His soul was lost over a dollar bill. I mean, you know, a dollar bill, old George Washington. A dollar bill, that man lost his soul. Because he did. And what did he say? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to sell and give it all to the poor, my Lord. Don't let money have a hold on you. Give what God tells you to give. And look, the power and the blessings of God upon our lives. But look at this. Look at this other scripture. This is the scripture I want to get to. My Lord, my Lord. It's only 11 o'clock, y'all. Look, everybody turned and looked. Oh, Lord. Look, this is what happened. I said, it's 11 o'clock, you do. And if you do. And if you took their cell phones out, yo, I'm not even a fourth of the way, but that's okay. God knows. And look at this last part. I want to read this. And it says, talking about the king now. And it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right or to the left, to the end of, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, and he and his children in the midst thereof. Go back to verse 18. God says, the one he would call to be king over them, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Back then, you know, they didn't have the New Testament and only parts of the Old Testament. But God told them that when the king that he chooses would come, that he was to take the Bible that they had. We know for sure they had the first five books of the Old Testament, and probably a few of the old, because Job is the oldest book, so that's probably in there too. But the king, the requirement by God, was that the king was to take the word that they had, and he was to write his own book of the Bible. He was to take Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, have the copy that he has, and he was to write it. He was to look at it and write it. Look at it, and he would really, what he was doing was copying the scriptures down for himself. What he was doing was taking a log of the word of God for himself. What he was doing was, as he was writing it, that word was becoming a part of his life to rule over the people according to the word of God. A bar down on that? We have too many in Washington that don't know one scripture out of this Bible.
Amen.
That's why we're in the state we're in, people.
Go ahead, Virgil.
And God knows it. And we know it. Because we know how they live. They don't know the word of God. Some of them. A lot of them. But they're in powerful positions. God's order for the Israelites was that, I want to give you a king. I want to be your king. But I'm going to give you a physical king, because you requested it, and I will give it to you. But he is to write the law down. He is to copy that scriptures down. And as he copies that scriptures down, it would become a part of his life. You know, we today, we don't have to do that. We can go online and order a Bible. We can go to the Christian bookstore and get one already made. And all we got to do is open it up when we do and read it. But there's something about writing those scriptures down. I know many of you have tablets where you write what God speaks to you, and the scriptures that mean so much to your heart. And it seems like as you write it down, it becomes a permanent press of the word of God upon your heart. And that scripture never leaves your life, because it becomes a part of you. God wanted the king, the first king, and king, every king after that, to be pressed by the word of God, that it would be pressed upon their hearts, that the king would rule according to the word of God. And as he ruled according to the word of God, the blessings and the power and the anointing of God was upon that country and upon those people. We need to press the word of God upon our lives. Maybe you and I need to start doing what God required the king to do, because we're all leaders. Get that scripture in your heart. Write them down so that the power and the anointing and the presence of God would stamp that word upon the hearts of our lives. And we would, because it says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. Make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. My God. Lord, help us. You know what's the saddest thing, though? Yeah, we have those idiots, some of them, over there in Washington. But people, we have a lot of Christians that don't know a hill of beans about the Word of God. That's why they're tossed to and fro. It says tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That means a wind blows, shoo, then it stops. Then another wind blows, shoo, from the north. Then another wind blows from the west. And another wind blows from the east. That means they believe in different things, four or five different things in one week. We need to be steadfast in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. Stamp it upon our hearts. Let it become a priority to you and I. That the Word of God is a priority to know our God and who He is. That it's stamped upon our hearts. Because look at the other parts. I mean, it's amazing to me that He made the king do it. He was going to have to do it to be king. God set the rules. God set the order. Look at verse, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Wow. After he read it and wrote it, he was to read those scriptures all the days of his life. Can you imagine every morning the king would get up and he'd have to read in his own handwriting the Word of God? You know, we have it all typed up, you know, all this stuff, and that's good. But you have to read it every day. That he may learn to fear the Lord, your God, or our God. See, as we get the Word in us, we fear him. It's a not a fear of, oh, I'm scared of him, but a fear of adoration, of adornment, of love for him. That we strive to do everything we can to honor him, to keep all the words of him, this law and these statutes, and to do them. That his heart be not lifted up. You know, Satan was right there by Jesus, by the Father, by the Holy Spirit. And he sinned against God because his heart was lifted up. Pride and arrogance. That's an attribute. God says that we're to get that word in us, so that pride and arrogance, that we don't lift up ourselves, but we lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You and I need to hunger more for this word. Come on, people. It's true. I'm not trying to be hard on myself or you, but look, we need a hunger for this thing. We need a hunger for it. We should never go days without opening this book and reading and reading. That's like, you know, how do you feel when you have, when you go a few days without food? Yeah, we don't know. We're sure not going to skip breakfast. And we came to church and we're all hungry by now. We're sure not going to miss dinner. We probably already have plans to pick up play lunches. We already got our tickets to go get them. You know, we know where we're going. God does say fast and pray. But be led by the Spirit of God. You know, in talking about fasting, it's only 11 o'clock. I know y'all getting hungry. We're all getting hungry. Okay. Talking about fasting, you know, in Scripture, it never really talks about the whole church fasting. Read it. Try to read it. It's not there. So when the pastor calls for the whole church to fast, it's not Scripture. Ooh. Was that a pin that went through the balloon? Now, if God puts that upon his or her heart, maybe, you know, whatever, but it's not. Now, God calls individuals to fast, or maybe a little few groups, you know, a husband, wife, or whatever. That's hard to fast. It seems like you're more hungry than before. And it seems like everybody invites you to go eat.
Yeah.
You see all the commercials on TV for food. Your best restaurants, the ones you haven't seen in ages, they just have the best commercial. It's like, Lord, I'm going to have to break down and go eat. But God does say fast and pray. So, you know, as the Spirit of the Lord leads you, see, we're led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. And here we see in Scripture that his heart be not lifted up above his brother, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, in his children in the midst of Israel. The Scripture keeps you on the right path. This is the path of Scripture. And any time old Slewfoot comes, or even just ourselves, and we try to start to turn a little bit, the Scripture rises up on the inside of us, and we turn back. We say, no, I can't. Holy Spirit, help me. Or go on to the right a little bit. The Scripture says, those commandments of the Word keeps us on that straight and narrow path. That's why I encourage you to read. I encourage you to bring your Bibles, even though we have it all in this stuff. Do it. Because you need to know that what I'm saying is coming from this Scripture. And it's correctly divided the Word of God. So this king, the requirement God gave him would be, he would have to write all the Scriptures down. That's not an easy task, to just sit there and take that Bible and just write it. You're reading it and you're writing it. How long do you think it took him? Even if they had, let's say, 6 books, we know the first 5 and probably Job and probably some of the other ones, you know, by the time it got to, that's some big books to write. But I tell you what, that Scripture changed his life. Just as we get the Word of God and God changes us from the inside out, that's Scriptures. And you know, that Scripture, that means every time a judgment had to come forth from the king, what would rise up first? The Word of God. And he would base his judgment upon what the Word of God said. You see? And so God wants us to be like that king. The kings that we would raise up, that when certain situations rise up, we follow the Scriptures. When a situation rises up, that what the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord. When we do, Lord, your word says, cast your cares upon you. I'm casting it, Lord. Here it is, Father. It's yours. I'm not carrying it, Lord. I can't handle it. I can't do it. I can't see it. I don't want it. But I cast it forth for you, on you. You handle it, and give me wisdom to handle it. See, we got to follow the Scriptures, people. But the Bible says, any sick among you, what the Scripture says to do? What? Call the elders of the church. People, I haven't been called lately. I'm not saying you can call people. People, the Scriptures. And I know the Bible, that we say, well, I don't want to bother him or her. You know? Yet, we may not be able to come at that second. But I know anybody you call in this place, they will be there for you. It might be a few days, it might be in a week, but they will be there because of whatever situations. But the Bible says, if any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, that they will come and pray the prayer of faith, and the sick shall be healed. The power of Almighty God. We have the Scriptures at our hands, This is it. Okay, Lord. And I said, well, what if I call and they come and I'm not healed? Well, that's not you. That's not the people that went. Hey, it's God's responsibility to bring the healing. We just have to follow the scriptures. That's all. Okay? Look, let's get in that word and consume that it becomes alive unto us. Okay? As that king had to write it, God humbled him that he would not become prideful because he knew the scriptures. His heart stayed right. And when judgments came that he needed to judge on and lead, the power of Almighty God was with him because he knew what the scripture says. My God, praise God. What a God we serve. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord,